This. That's the subtitle of the next talk. The next talk will be provided to you by two pen testers who have done pen testing for 5 years. And who experience that a lot of time they are not detected. And this is the question why they are not detected. And they want to show you some easy kinds how to detect them next time. The talk is detecting a breach from an attacker's perspective. And the speakers are Rick van Daun and Wesley Nailen. Please give them a round of applause.
Thank you. Thank you.
Is mine working? Mine's working, but his isn't. Sorry? You hear my phone? Have you tried turning it on and off again? Gaat het?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it working now?
Yes, yes, it's working.
Great.
Okay.
Well, welcome to our talk, Detecting a Breach from an Attacker's Perspective. Like mentioned, we are penetration testers, so probably we are going to regret this. Because in a lot of tests we are undetected, and we think with the techniques we developed, we could be trapped and detected during our engagements. We are offensive guys. We have around 5 years experience penetration testing. We are OSCP and OSCE certified. We are currently working on OSEE. It's advanced exploitation certification from offensive security. And we are working for a defense company named Darebytes. Like mentioned, we are penetration testing a lot of companies, and most of the time we are unnoticed. So we are wondering, how is that possible? We are also members of HoneyNet. This is a group of people that likes HoneyPot and are working on that.
Okay, short introduction. Pen testers, we notice we don't get detected a lot. And what we do notice is that lots and lots of companies own a SIEM or an IDS, hooking up that IDS to the internet directly, making sure you have like a nice big tree of alerts, lots and lots of data, lots and lots of alerts. And this makes it hard to know when you're actually being breached or when just a simple scan is being performed on your external range. This makes it hard to even know and to discern between a human attacker and an automated attack or just like simple ransomware within your network. To us, we think there is a need to have clear indicators of an internal breach. These indicators are a last resort, a last trick you can have in order to know that you've been breached. Please note that this means, if these indicators go off, this means that somebody is already inside of your network and most likely has either high privileges on systems or network level access.
We are also mapping our traps against hacks that already happened. For example, the hacking team, they were breached using a zero day on a router. And he packaged a special package for the router, and then he was able to nmap and to run responder on the network. So he was enumerating the network using nmap from that router where he came in. He found the iSCSI backup drive, he was able to mount it. And he was able to dump the credentials of a VMDK that was available on that iSCSI drive. With the credentials extracted from that VMDK, he was able to compromise a live system, an Exchange server. Again, on that server, he was able to extract credentials from the memory using Mimikatz. After that, he extracted a lot of data, for example, Exchange mailboxes.
Next to the hacking team hack, we have the DigiNotar hack. For all Dutch people, this must be a familiar scenario. DigiNotar was a company selling certificates, SSL certificates. And they were breached via an outdated installation of .NET Nuke. And after the breach, the attacker had to look around. He had to figure out where he could go from there. So what he did was investigate the DMZ where the web server was running. But next to this, he inspected the configuration of the web server. This showed a connection to a database server in the internal network running MS SQL. Well, some of you may know that MS SQL in default configuration, the old one, not the current one, allows you to perform XP command shell, which essentially allows you to do SQL queries that execute system commands. This allowed him to pivot his way from the DMZ to the internal network, after which he gained domain admin credentials, possibly via pwdump or Mimikatz. According to his own write-up on Pastebin, he took 1 month of pivoting through various networks in order to gain access to the signing network. During this month, he had to attack various systems, had to identify running systems, so making lots and lots of noise. Well, this made us wonder, next to all the pen tests we did, why are companies that, well, should know better and should be able to detect a breach are not detecting breaches? How could they have been hacked for such a long time without actually noticing? And actually, this made us say the famous words, how hard can it be?
So we are going to look at it from an attacker's perspective. We ask ourselves some questions. How do we catch ourselves? Because we have some we are doing similar things every time, like scanning the network. What steps do we take during a pen test? And how do we detect this behavior? And we concluded that it's important to not detect the tools, but to detect the end goal of an attacker. For example, if you have an important machine within your network, then it's great to create a trap which detects whenever that system is attacked.
So, a short disclaimer. This talks about the way of thinking, not about the tools. There are tools available, like Open Canary and Tripwire. So we advise you to use such tools. These are just a couple of examples. They won't save you. They are an addition to your existing monitoring or a new way of thinking of implementing your current monitoring. And we hope to inspire you all to look differently towards defending your network and to maybe take in account the offensive approach an attacker would take instead of hoarding large amounts of data and then afterwards trying to figure out what to look at in order to detect the breach. One advice I can give you all, honey all the things, it will help you. Regular old honeypots in a network will be touched by asset management tooling, stuff like that. However, once you try and filter out all the background noise, which shouldn't be that much, it will allow you to detect interesting things.
So we have split up our honeypots in two topics, the passive and the active honeypots. The passive honeypots are just waiting to be touched, for example. One very simple trick we've made is an internal port scan detector. This is just a simple script that monitors to check whether the system is touched in any way. Various systems can already do this, of course, but these are not single purpose systems. And they are trying to filter out the false positives. So you might miss some scans. For example, if an attacker performs a slow scan, maybe it's not detected. For example, in the hacking team hack, he performed a slow scan to try to avoid being detected. Attackers need to know what they can attack, so we can exploit this by just simply monitoring on that. So we have created a port scan detector. This is just only a system which is waiting to be touched. It's doing nothing else. And it's, you can keep it simple. For example, this one-liner TCP dump, you can use it to monitor whether your system is touched or not. And then you can get a warning, for example. I've created a video of this. First, you will see an NMAP scan, which is performed on our honeypot. And this is the honeypot that detects the port scan. Every port that is touched is displayed over here. And you can make a notification of that. This is, again, the NMAP results. We've also created IP tables forwarding. So every request is forwarded to another system, so it looks even real. But at least we know that the system is touched. We've also created a program that increases the attack area of this. It is possible to assign multiple virtual interfaces that allow you to assign static IP addresses in multiple segments, for example, the DMZ and the internal network. You can specify DSP addresses. For example, I want 10 DHCP, but you can also assign it static. So this improves the simple port scan detector. It's now listening on all those interfaces. As you can see here, it's the same output as from the video, but now it's on different IP addresses, so you can use the single system to put it in multiple segments. It's just a system that's hanging into your network, but you can make it look even more real. For example, you can give it an interesting name like DC02, PV store, super secret, whatever, what is interesting in your company. So you can add DNS records in your network for that. You can add it to multiple subnets and VLANs. For example, I would place one in DMZ, one in the internal network, and whenever the port scan detector is touched within your DMZ, it's strange because there are no systems that are that needs to be touching that system. To make it even more real, you can also add it to Active Directory, because a lot of systems in a network will be. And we created a whitelist functionality. For example, if some systems are allowed to scan it automatically, then you can whitelist those that no notification will be sent.
So another way attackers try and pivot their way through your network is by gaining higher privileges than they have. So, for example, after a regular phish, attackers would look through that local system and look through the network drives in order to find interesting, like credentials or other information to gain higher privileges and be able to pivot their way through the network. So by playing in on this, by salting your network with fake credentials, you are essentially giving them what they want in a controlled environment, obviously, and thereby you would be able to detect them. Well, a tool like Mimikatz allows you to retrieve Windows credentials from memory. There are some APT groups that use their own tooling for this. However, they all try and read memory of the LSAS process in order to dump credentials. Well, you can actually implement this fairly easy. The one-liner run as net only allows you to spawn a notepad process with these credentials. And the net only flag will allow you to spawn it with fake credentials, since it only works for a network, doesn't check locally. From my perspective, when I'm doing a pen test and I find like existing domain admin credentials, this is a happy moment for me. Because I'm probably finally able to attack that server, gain access to the domain controller, or whatever. So imagine, finally, after spending a day, 3 days, 5 days, finally finding your creds, and then all of a sudden all the alerts go off. This would suck. I created a PowerShell script that actually does this. It's a modification of Invoke RANAS by Maarten Boon, Fuzzynop. However, this is just Mimikatz running. It's dumping credentials, regular old user, offsec lab, noob lab. nothing special going on. After this, I use the invoke runas script, which allows you to specify a username, a domain name, and a password. After you've run this, so I'm filling in admin user, steal my creds, but you can make it a bit more believable, obviously, with a prod.admin password, and now it's spawned a conhost process, hidden. Hidden conhost process that contains these, or at least that uses these credentials. And after this, you can see the admin user, steal my creds, with the prod.admin credentials are reside in memory. If this, and it's important to actually, this is funny. It's nice to have. However, if you are attacking a network and you find like credentials, you'll probably want to check if those are actually in existence. So every domain joined PC would be able to query the Active Directory and check if the user exists. So it's important to actually create a legitimate domain admin account with a very difficult password, and you all agree on not using that account. Then you spread around the fake credentials. So the moment that an attacker gains access to those credentials from memory and checks in the Active Directory if the account is in existence, active, and is allowed to log on, he will probably use it, because it's very difficult from then on to determine if the account is actually fake or not. However, do not put in the something in the description like fake honey account. The description is also readable for the same users.
Another nice monitoring feature is for a web server is there's a web root. And whenever a file is created in that web root, for example, there's something going on, if it's not an update or something expected. And we have created, Deerwise created a tool which allows you to monitor the web root. It's available on GitHub, and what it's doing is remotely logging in through SSH, and then it's making SHA-sum of all the existing files. And whenever a change is detected, so it's pulling every 30 minutes, whenever a change is detected, a new file, a modified file, or a deleted file, then the alert goes out. Remote integrity tools available on GitHub. It allows you to send multiple notifications, for example, email, but also it's possible to send Telegram messages. This is, for example, on my blog. I run an update, and then I get a message from the Telegram bot that new files are created. This is expected, but whenever this is not expected, an attacker might have uploaded the shell to your web server, so it's time to act. Well, we also developed some active honeypots, so these are trying to actively lure the attacker into your trap. And one of those things, when performing a pen test, you can use, for example, netstat, the output of that, to see what existing connections are present on the system. So that can be interesting to pivot into the network and attack those systems. Then you don't have to run an nmap scan, so you will not be detected by the port scan detector, but still you have some knowledge about the network. So you can do this, but we can also salt this netstat output. And for example, it's interesting when you put MSSQL into it, because it's interesting because you can use XP command shell to pivot further into the network. So the following screenshot shows an example. This is a netstat output of a system, and you'll see that a MySQL connection is active, but this is actually our script creating a fake connection. So this could lure an attacker into the trap to connect to that system, and that will be our honeypot. And whenever it's touched, we get the notification.
So another, well, obviously popular red teaming trick is using Responder. Responder allows you to directly interact with broadcast traffic of LLMNR and MBNS. What they do is they are old Windows tricks in order to broadcast or do name resolution of systems. The Responder was also used during the hacking team hack. And the interesting thing here was they only used the analyze part, so they only looked at broadcasts. So you can use these broadcasts against an attacker. Responder is quite loud. It responds to any broadcast you do unless you specify otherwise. And we can take advantage of this by just plainly shouting back. So the moment somebody is trying to perform responder on your internal network and you have this running, you'd be able to check out and figure out where they are running it from and where they are trying to send you later on. So I made a tool that just sends out LNMNR queries and MBNS queries onto the network. So it's just running the entire time, it's broadcasting. The moment you start responder, it already detected one of the touch-to-be-burned LUN manager queries. And after this, it starts doing MBNS as well. And you can see it's coming from there and it's pointing to that system. So it's trying to get my system to connect to one of to their system in order to force like Windows authentication or something like that. Obviously, the name isn't that cleverly chosen, but this is just as a proof of concept. You could also do just not existing systems within your internal network by keeping by broadcasting those. It will allow you to figure out once somebody is just responding to anything you you send out there. Well, these are some of our tricks. And we would like to go back to the initial breaches of Hacking Team and DigiNotar breach in order to see if we could map those on the attack. So step by step and look if we would be able to detect breaches like this using our simple tricks.
So let's go to the Hacking Team. So he came in through that zero day on the router and started nmapping the network. He started the slow nmap. So if your the port scan detector was over there, he probably touched that server, and then an alarm goes out and someone is on your network. So that would be a great point to detect, simply with a simple detection mechanism to detect the attacker. Also, he connected to a NAS, network area storage, and that contained a VMDK with credentials. He was able to dump those credentials. A local admin. You could solve those as well. So it's not only limited to put fake users into the memory, but you could also put fake local users. And whenever you use those users, you could detect that they are used and that something is compromised. After gaining credentials from that VMDK, he was able to log on to the Exchange server. He used Mimikatz to get passwords out of the memory, and he was able to obtain domain admin credentials. You could also put fake domain admin credentials in there, and whenever that user is used, something is going on, because who will get the those credentials, those fake credentials from the memory? That would be an attacker. After gaining access to the Exchange server, he got access to Christian Pozzi's laptop. And there was a TrueCrypt container mounted with fake passwords in a hit.txt. Yeah, you could also put fake credentials in there. So there are a lot of layers where you're able to detect him. Using the Christian Pozzi's information, he was able to get in the developer's LAN. It's a segment. Also, he was scanning that network. So there again, the port scan detector would be triggering. So multiple layers, it's possible to detect the attacker. And at least you are already compromised, but at least you know that you're compromised.
So trying to map these on the DigiNotar breach, the .NET Nuke web server was compromised. So if you would have been able to monitor the web route, you would have you've been notified of changes to files or additional files being added. Obviously, it's not a clear indication, but it's a point of you can start by contacting your web admin, asking if they have done some modifications to the website. If not, try and look at that to see what's happening. After gaining access to the initial web server, connections to MS SQL within the Office LAN were made, as well as internal checks to see if there were interesting systems within the DMZ. Let's say you add like a honeypot, a port scan detector, to your DMZ. It's not accessible from the internet. It's not accessible from your internal network. The moment a system starts, like let's say your web server starts port scanning your internal DMZ, it's a, well, it's at least something to look at, but to me it's an oh shit moment. Coming from the web server, he was able to compromise a database server within the Office LAN. Well, the fake MS-SQL connections could have also worked here, or faking other connections. Next to that, obviously salting the system with fake information or credentials. After a long while, he was able to gain access to the secure the signing network, which is also an interesting environment to put in honeypot, since these are, well, obviously should be silent networks, not not a lot of traffic there. So, this is our presentation. Are there any questions?
So, Rick and Wesley.
Thank you.
Yes, if there are questions, line up at the microphone, please. I think it was very good insight into a world that's, well, maybe some of us don't know so good well. So, well, if there are no questions, then I would say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.